1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 21 through 24 is our preaching material. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 21 through 24. The text says, "Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matri's clan was taken. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was taken. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, 'Has the man come here yet?' And the Lord said, 'Yes, he has hidden himself among the supplies.'" Verse 23, "They ran and brought him out. And as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, 'Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? The Lord has chosen, the Lord has chosen. There is no one like him among all the people.' Then the people shouted, 'Long live the king.'" I've entitled this sermon, "Stop Trying to Hide." Stop trying to hide. I wonder, can y'all repeat after me? Stop trying to hide. That's what I'm talking about. How many of y'all believe that God has a plan for your life? Got a plan for your life. And how many of y'all know God wants you to follow his plan instead of trying to hide from him? I say trying to hide because you do know you really can't hide from the Lord. Where would you go? In our text, we see that the people of Israel have lobbied, complained, nagged God into providing a king. Lord was trying to get them to see, "You don't need a king, I'm your king." But because everybody else had a king, the Jews said, "We want to have a king as well." And it seemed as if the Lord finally acquiesced, gave in, allowed them to have a king by the name of Saul. In our text, the people are waiting for Saul to be presented to them. And bless God if Saul is not hiding behind some stuff, behind some baggage, behind some supplies. So it's installation time. It's time for the king to step out with his chest out, shoulders back, head up, man. Look presidential, look like a king. And the king is cowardly hiding behind some stuff. But thank God, he at least came out. They had to go get him, but at least he came out. And when he came out, as long as he did what the Lord said do, he had victory after victory. I could not help but think about how God has a plan and a calling for all of our lives. And we may be tempted to hide behind some stuff, some excuses. We got reasons why we don't do what God is calling us to do. But if we would just come out now, forget about what we used to do. If today we stop hiding, the Lord can give us victory from here until the end of our journey. And so in the thesis, in a sentence, what are we talking about? We're saying that we should respond to God's plan with obedience instead of hiding. What is the pastor talking about? He's talking about how we should respond to God's plan with obedience instead of hiding. I got to talk about God's plan. How did Saul become the king? The answer is God chose Saul to be the king. There was no election of Saul. It does not appear to be Saul's personal ambition. It was God, for God's reasons, chose Saul to be the first king of Israel. In like manner, God has a call for your life and for mine. First of all, There is the call of salvation. I said there is the call of salvation. God wants everybody to be saved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Doesn't say he just so loved Avondale, or he just so loved black people, or he just so loved Baptists. He said God so loved the world. That's not the earth, that's the people in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is calling us to salvation. Some of the problem with salvation is, if we're not careful, we tend to think of salvation as life insurance. It's only good when you die. But I'm here to tell you, salvation is good for the here and now as well. For attached to salvation, this marvelous life, eternal life after death, is John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10:10. Jesus talks and says, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So it's not just this heaven, pie in the sky type stuff, but an abundant life also includes some blessings down here on earth as well. God is calling us to salvation, which is marvelous in eternity, but it's also marvelous right here and right now. The reason you ought to pay attention is because if you are not saved, listen, you are wasting your life. If you are not saved, you are wasting your life. All of the stuff that you busy yourself with, at the end of the day, it's a whole bunch of nothing. Listen to what the Bible says. This is Matthew 16:26. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So let's say you make $1 million. Let's say you got that bad car you've been looking at. Let's say you got closets full of the finest clothes. Let's say you got all of the jewelry that you want. Let's say you've traveled around the world. You've done everything you wanted to do on planet Earth. When you get to the finishing line, none of that is worth your soul. You can't drive your car past the grave. You can't take one dime of your money past the grave. We get excited about what clothes, what outfit we're going to put on the deceased, as if the deceased is going to wear that past the grave. You open that casket up 50 years from now, that same outfit sitting right there in the casket. Nothing can be taken past the grave. So even if we gain the world, is no exchange for our soul. Psalms 1, verse 3 and 4, I think does a marvelous job of underscoring what I'm trying to say. It says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatsoever they do prospers. We like that part. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So even if the rain stops falling, I got rivers of water to supply, and whatsoever I do shall prosper. That's shouting stuff right there. But listen to verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. So if you line up with God's call for your life, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers, the streams of water. It's going to be all right for you. But if you are not lined up with God's plan, if you're out here just doing your own thing, then you are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So you might get something accomplished. You got your little education, you got your nice job, you got your profitable business, you got your partner, you got whatever you're trying to do. But at the end of the day, it's just like chaff, blown away. It's a whole bunch of nothing. God is calling us to salvation. If you're not saved, you are wasting your life. But then, God is also calling saved people to service. If you're saved, how many of y'all saved? If you're saved, God is calling us to serve him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." When God called Saul to be the king, it was more to being the king than just sitting on the throne looking like a king. The king had some work to do. I'm telling you, if you are saved, God has saved us so we can serve him. Everybody got a good work to do for the Lord. And here is where I got to remind you of how big God is. This is a big building, but God can't even get his baby toe in this building. God is a big God. He's not just God of our little church houses, but he's God of the world. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So when we talk about service, yes, you ought to find something to do in church. Church is more than just preachers and deacons. It's so much other stuff that needs to be done in church. Romans 12 and 5 talks about we are many members, one body. Find you something to do in church. Yes, 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 yes. But the Lord is bigger than the church. Dr. Victor Cousins, my colleague, in whom I am very proud of his ministry. He wrote this book, Marketplace Mentality. I urge you all to take a look at it. It's on Amazon.com, Marketplace Mentality by Bishop Dr. Victor Cousins. Check out this book. He argues that the kingdom of God, and that's Bible language, kingdom. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is near. He doesn't say the church is near. He says the kingdom is near. And Cousins argues in his book that wherever the king reigns, God reigns, that is the kingdom. Kingdom is bigger than church. The whole world is supposed to be God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom to the extent we live by God's principles. The only way to get the world to live by God's principles is the people that's in the world got to live by God's principles. Guess where we live at? We live in the world. We don't live in this church house. We visit the church house, but we live in the world. Our ministry, our area of service is not limited to our singing in the choir, our preach in the pulpit, our usher at the door, our drive the van, our operate the equipment. Our ministry is wherever we go. We're supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Let me just put it in your lap. God may very well be calling you to be an educational professional. Just like God calls someone to be a preacher, he might be calling you to be a school teacher, a principal, a school board member, a registered nurse, a licensed nurse, a nurse's aide. He might be calling you to be the bus aide, the person that's on the bus, keeping the kids calm instead of slapping each other upside the head while the bus driver is not paying attention. God did not call Saul to be a prophet in the tabernacle or in the temple. God called Saul to be the king. What that ought to say to you is, if God can call Saul to be the king, then maybe he can call me to be a business owner. Maybe he can call me to have a shoe shop repair. Maybe he can call me to be a lawyer, a saved politician. There is a strange amount of suspicion when somebody talks about they feel as if God has called them to be a politician. This is because we've been overexposed to candidates that have election religion. Election religion. That is, they only get religion around the election season. So about 2 months before election, they show up in all of our churches. After the election is over, and my God, if they lose, sometimes before the election is over, you don't see them anymore. They have election religion. But in spite of people abusing the church, it is a solid foundation to feel as if God has called you into the public service of being a politician. Because whenever Christians are too holy to be involved in politics, we leave unholy people to run the political system. Somebody ought to say amen. So then instead of us demonizing the politicians, instead of us talking about how crooked the political systems are, this is what I'm telling you. You ought to let God use you to be a part of the correction and the reform that's needed in our system. God don't just send a bunch of preachers and prophets in our text. God sends the king. David was not a preacher. David was a king. Solomon wasn't a preacher. Solomon was a king. You ought not think that God can only send you to pray a prayer in the sanctuary. He may be calling you to be a saved person on your job. A saved person, a person that can, first of all, show up before time. Work all the way until quitting time. Have a positive mental attitude no matter what's happening on the job. And when people ask you, how can you be so positive with all of the drama on the job, you ought to be able to tell them it's the joy of the Lord that gives me my strength. Doing the best I can do, help you see God has a plan for your life. However, if you're not careful and if I'm not careful, we'll find ourselves like Saul trying to hide behind some stuff. I'm on point two now, talking about hiding. Even though God had a plan for Saul, Saul was hiding when it was time for him to step up. I've asked myself on several occasions, why is Saul hiding? Is it because he felt as if the job was too big? Because after all, he's the first king, he's setting the stage for everybody else to come? Did he feel too small or too inadequate for the job? Was he afraid to be the first king? Had he heard about what happened to Moses and what happened to others, and he feared that this thing is not going to work out? Did he have other priorities? Did his family own property, and he preferred to go and take care of the family business instead of be bothered with being the first king of Israel? What kept Saul hiding when God was calling? We may never know. But just the attempt to understand him causes us to raise this question. What do you hide behind when God is calling you? When he's calling you to be saved, what do you hide behind? Do you hide behind, well, I'm too sinful? My sins are too big for even God's grace? I'm telling you, this comes only from the devil. Jesus' blood is powerful enough to wash the worst of sinners whiter than the snow. You remember on that cross called Calvary, our Lord had this first encounter. We see grace even on the cross. You don't just nail or hang everybody on a cross. In order to be crucified in the first century, it's evidence that you have been found guilty of some kind of a capital offense. You were not put on the cross for misdemeanors. You were not put on the cross for even low-level felonies. If somebody was crucifying you, that meant you were determined to be a bad boy. You was a bad girl. They were killing you. One of the first people we have record of our Lord saving is the felony that's up on the cross. You remember the brother said, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. I'm trying to get you to see God is not repulsed by your sin. He is attracted by your sin. Because if anybody needs a savior, it is a sinner. Somebody ought to help me in here. Some people hide behind, I have too many sins in my life for God to save me. And I'm telling you, God saves to the utmost. Some people hide, well, the reason I'm not saved is because of all of the sinners in the church. The preacher is not right. The officers are not right. The members are a bunch of hypocrites. The usher didn't smile right. The choir didn't sing right. I don't like the way Reverend preached. He preached too long. He preached too slow. Something wrong with the people. I'm here to tell you the day is coming when you're going to have a whole lot bigger issues on your mind than what the people was doing in church. You're going to have to meet your maker. And when that time comes, it's not what was going on in church, it's going to be what happened in you. Jesus is trying to save you. And for you to say, I'm not saved because of the people in the church, sounds like you just hiding behind some stuff. And then there's others that say, well, I would be saved, but I have too many questions. Questions like, how can Christianity be the only right way? There's so many people in the world that never heard about Jesus. And how can all those people go to hell because they haven't accepted Jesus? And what about the Muslim? And what about the Jew and the Buddhist and all of this kind of stuff? Why you got starving children in Africa? Why God don't do anything with Ebola? Why can't God control ISIS? Why don't God stop the hurricanes and all this kind of stuff? And you got quite a list, which underscores the fact we walk by faith and not by sight. I got some of the same questions that you have, but by the grace of God, I'm learning I can trust God with even the things I don't understand. We have all kinds of stuff that we hide behind for our salvation, and then we have another list of things we hide behind when it comes to God calling us into service. We who claim to be saved ought to ask ourselves, what are we hiding behind? Some say, well, I'm too busy to serve the Lord. Others say, I'm too sinful to serve the Lord. Others say, it's the sinners in the church, or I'm inadequate, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too something. Well, listen, if it was just you and the job, you might be able to make your case a little bit more convincing. But I'm telling you, it's not just you and the call, but it's you, the call, and God. And when God is in the picture, he can take our little bit and make it more than enough for the assignment. If you don't believe me, you can ask old man Noah. Noah would tell you the Lord can take somebody who have never even seen an ark and make me into an ark builder. Abraham would tell you that God can take the son of an idol worshiper and turn him into the father of the faith. Esther would say he could take a no-name peasant girl and turn her into the queen of the kingdom. Ruth would say he can take a widow woman from the Gentile area and turn her into one that's in the lineage of Jesus the Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I like the King James version of that. It says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Get it good now. Whatever tempts us to hide, I'm telling you, God is bigger than what you're hiding behind. That God is able to make up whatever inadequacies we fear, whatever problem we are afraid of, whatever is going on in our life, God is able to fix it. When God called you, He didn't call you to just run off and do it by yourself. He called you to do it under His anointing. You're not in this thing by yourself. And so you can trust God to help you if you would just trust Him enough to come out of hiding. I close now with a few words about obeying. Y'all still here? Told you that God has a plan. I tried to empathize with what causes people to hide. I'm closing now on this matter of obeying. We can spend a lot of time criticizing Saul for hiding, but when you get finished talking about him hiding, you got to give the brother credit. He came out of hiding. Yes, it's a shame. He shouldn't have done it. He embarrassed the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. But at the end of the story, he came out. And that describes somebody here today. There's a whole lot of stuff all of us have done that we should not have done. It's a whole lot of stuff we have failed to do that God was calling us to do. God is not thinking about that right now. God is saying today can be the day that you come out of hiding. Today is the day that you can come out and experience the victories of God. Now, I think I ought to tell you, Saul does well as long as he stays under the anointing of God. As long as Saul does what God says do, things go well for Saul. Saul gets into a problem when he comes out from the anointing. When he starts wanting to do his thing, do things his own way, he runs into problems. And so learn from his mistake. Come out of hiding and just obey God's will for your life. Because I'm here to tell you, He can give us the victory. I want to spend my last few moments now talking about the victory He can supply. First of all, I'm thankful that He can give us victory in the area of salvation. No matter how jacked up you think your life is, my God is able to save your soul. In fact, the worse off you are, the more you ought to praise Him. Because there is no sin that is just so big and so bad that grace cannot get around. His grace is sufficient. And then He can give us victory in the area of our health. I'm thankful that even when substance abuse counselors and doctors cannot help our people with heroin and crack and even alcoholism, we serve a God who's able to take the taste out of your mouth, clean up your system, give you a mind to run on and see what the end will bring. Our doctors scratch their head and try to figure out what will we do with diabetes, with hypertension, with cancer, with even obesity. But I'm telling you, we got a God who's the doctor of the doctor. When earthly doctors have given up and don't know what to do, we got a God who's able to fix whatever is broke in these failing bodies of ours. But that's not all God can do. He can also give us victory in the area of wealth. Now, it is true that He can keep food on your table. That's true. He can keep clothes on your back. Thank God that's true. He can keep a shelter over your head. All of that's true. But He's also able to give you the wherewithal to not just get a good job, but to open a profitable business. He's able to give you the wherewithal to have a profitable investment portfolio. You ought not think that God is only good for when you get in trouble. You call him to be a crisis counselor. But God is good to be a coach. He can empower you to help you be more than you ever thought that you could be. But then God can also give us victory in the area of our relationships. If your little heart has been broken, I got somebody who can put your broken pieces back together again. If your feelings have been hurt and you're about ready to give up on all of the men, on all of the women, you'd just rather live in the world all by yourself, I got somebody who can give you a different perspective. I got somebody who can help you discern from wolves in sheep's clothing, from those who are genuine sheep. But then our God is also able to give us victory in the area of a positive mental attitude. If you go to almost any bookstore, they have a self-help section. And many of the books in self-help are concerned with how to be happy, how to have peace, how to be fulfilled in such a crazy world. Well, the God that I serve is able to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. The God we serve can give you joy down in your soul. And then God can give you victory in the area of contribution. I don't know about you, but when my journey is over, I want to be able to hear somebody say, he left the world better than he found it. I want somebody to be able to say that he gave more than he took. And one of the things that I love about my God is he's able to take those that we would throw away and turn them into heroes and sheroes in his program. Did you hear what I said? Sister Brownlee and I know about this place called Ruleville, Mississippi. I don't know if I'll ever go back to Ruleville, Mississippi. I think I've already seen enough of Ruleville, Mississippi. It's not a whole lot to Ruleville, Mississippi. My pulpit is bigger than the post office in Ruleville, Mississippi. But even in Ruleville, Mississippi, the Lord raised up that giant of a personality by the name of Fannie Lou Hamer. Now, any student of the NAACP ought to recognize this name. Fannie Lou Hamer was the one who said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. She was a freedom fighter. And in Ruleville, Mississippi, they have a marvelous park and statue to commemorate her contribution to the struggle. But what it says to me, if the Lord can raise up a Fannie Lou Hamer out of Ruleville, Mississippi, then eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. It has not yet entered the imagination of people what God can do in and through your life up here in Cincinnati, Ohio. I believe I told you I went to Atlanta, Georgia, and looked at Dexter Baptist Church, the place where Dr. King came from, and I was expecting this great fancy building, but to my surprise, it was a rather ordinary church building. But I heard the Holy Ghost tap me on the shoulder and reminded me that every time I preach, I ought to preach like a young king is sitting in the pew. Because if God can raise a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Out of Dexter Baptist Church, Ebenezer Baptist Church, if he could raise him up out of such humble settings, then surely he's able to raise up some of anybody on any given Sunday morning. So there's no such thing as an ordinary Sunday, and no such thing as an ordinary church. God is able to take people who would hide, and people who could never get elected. God can take this crowd and raise them up to be kings and queens if we would just trust him. I gotta leave you here, but my prayer is that you will stop trying to hide from the Lord. Where can you hide from my God? If you go down to the bottom of the ocean, he's already there. If you go up to the top of the mountain, he's already there. If you try to hide in the darkness of midnight, have you not heard? My God can see in the dark. There's nowhere to hide from my God. So come on out and tell the Lord, heal my hands, do what you want to do, heal my voice, say what you want to say, heal my feet, go where you want to go. I'm a witness that serving the Lord sure will pay off. Yes, it will. Now I'm glad that there is a crown that faded not away. I'm glad that I have pie in the sky. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you that I get great consolation right here and right now. I thank God that I had options. There are some who preach because that's all that they can do. But I thank God that in spite of options, the Lord himself called me to be a preacher, and I have no regrets about my decisions. I have no regrets. I can't think of anything more fulfilling than to tell a dying world about my living Savior. I thank God. He called me from behind the stuff in my life to trumpet that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. Can anybody testify? There's nothing more satisfying than being under the anointing of the Lord. Can anybody testify? There's nothing that gives you more joy. There's nothing that gives you more self-actualization. There's nothing that makes life worth living like being where God wants you to be. When God wants you to be there, doing what God has called you to do. Oh, if you're looking for calmness, for that restless spirit, if you've tried some of everything and your soul is still not satisfied, I got a recommendation. Try my Jesus. There's a hunger that will never be satisfied. There's a thirst that will never be quenched. There's a restlessness of the human spirit that will never be calmed until you put your hands in the master's hand and tell the Lord, use me until you use me up. I know this world dangles in front of you all of the trappings of this world's success, but one of these days, you're gonna have to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account of your stewardship. Please stop hiding. Please stop running. Let the Lord do a good work in and through your life. Can anybody testify that serving the Lord sure will it'll pay off. I said it'll pay off. Nothing is going to make you as satisfied as lining up under God's plan and call for your life. Now you have free will and you're grown. You can do what you want to do. So you can go out here and spend the next 5-10 years busting your head into the wall, or you can just yield and say, Lord, I trust you. I am telling you, there's more to you than biology. You have a spirit. And that spirit in you is never going to be satisfied until it yields to the Lord. And it's going to yield anyway. One of these days, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. But when the Lord make you bow, you don't get any credit for that. If you want to get some credit, you got to volunteer and bow. And it's getting late in the evening. The sun is going down in your life. You've been hiding long enough. Today's a good day to come out of hiding and say, Lord, here I am. Do what you want to do in and through my life. Would you stand? The invitation is extended.